So Heavenly Father, we once again just come before you and just pray now you'd lift our eyes, fix our eyes on you, our Lord, our Saviour, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Well, of course, I'm not. I'm David Capener. But some of you may recognise that from the film Gladiator. It was a pivotal moment in the film. When he's been more recently known as the emperor, he comes face to face now with the emperor. He's been known as a Spaniard. And the emperor is responsible for the murder of his wife and his child. And he gives his name. He's not the Spaniard. He's Maximus Decimus Meridius. Well, names are important for meaning, for identity. If you're in a home group, you may share the meaning of your name. Or if you have children, how you decided on the names of your children. And in the film Gladiator, it was important for Russell Crowe's character that he was not the Spaniard. He was Maximus Decimus Meridius. Well, if names are important in general, in the Bible, they're very important. Names we know both from the Old Testament and the New Testament are not just names. They're related to who people are, to their identity. From Abraham, exalted father, to Abraham, father of many. Saul changing his name to Paul, meaning small and humble. Well, in this series, Knowing God, we'll see that God's name is one of the key ways that he reveals who he is, his nature, his character, and the assurance and hope this brings. And our understanding of God is essential. The writer A.W. Tozer says this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, more than our income, our qualifications, our identity. We become like what we worship. What you think about God will shape your destiny in life." Well, in the encounter with Moses that we looked at last week, we saw that God sees, that he hears, he has compassion, and more was revealed about God. They know God as a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But God revealed more about himself. He said, "I am who I am." There's not enough time to go into detail now, but "I am who I am" is Yahweh in the Hebrew. In most of our translations, including the NIV, it's replaced with the Lord in capital letters. There's a number of reasons. One of the reasons may be that God's people in the Old Testament felt that they would be breaking one of the commandments about misusing God's name if they called him Yahweh, if they uttered the words Yahweh. So it was replaced with Adonai, meaning Lord. As we saw last week when we looked at Exodus 3 with Christine, and in particular verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He revealed much about who he is. In a culture where there were many gods, impersonal gods, clearly false gods, God was saying, "I am God, I am Yahweh, I am with you." In revealing his name as Yahweh, God was saying to his people that he's not created, he exists, that he is at work, that he's not dependent on anyone or anything. God I am is absolutely sovereign. He decides what he will do and when. And that was a challenge for Moses and his people then, and it's a challenge for us today. That he's unchangeable. He was, he is, and he will be. As we see in chapter 3, Yahweh is with his people. He heard their cries. He was aware of their suffering, and he was going to act. God said to Moses in the context of Pharaoh and God's people being enslaved, "My name is Yahweh. I am who I am." And then in verse 15, "You are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent you." Well, Moses surely must have had a spring in his step. He had a supernatural encounter with God in the burning bush. In the midst of everything that Moses and his people were enduring under Pharaoh, it seems as if the world stops, the questioning, what is happening, why is it happening? God stepped in and said to Moses, "I am who I am. My name is Yahweh." But then we come to today's passage. Please do have your Bible open at Exodus chapter 5, verses 22. Have a look with me at verses 22 and 23. And in the light of what we heard last week, it may come as a surprise. Verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on his people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Moses asked God, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on the people? Actually, since we spoke to Pharaoh, things have got even more difficult. I guess we may have all asked a similar question. The fact that we know and accept that God is Lord, that he's sovereign, brings reassurance, but it brings challenge. It did for Moses. It's a question that many non-Christians pose. If God is sovereign, why doesn't he do something? Why does he allow bad things to happen? Well, what's happened to Moses between the encounter at the bush and this verse 22? Well, there was quite a bit of persuading of Moses by God that he should speak to Pharaoh, and eventually with a guarantee of Aaron by his side, he agreed. So Moses and Aaron accepted. They went down to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. But Pharaoh responds in chapter 5, verse 2, and this is key. He says to Moses and Aaron, "Who is the Lord that I should heed his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." In a culture of many gods, in a sense, Pharaoh is saying, "Who is this God, this Lord that you speak of?" As if he, Pharaoh, should have regard for him. Who is Yahweh? He has no understanding of God, of Yahweh, and the significance of God as sovereign, as God Almighty. So instead of letting the Israelites go, Pharaoh made the slavery more severe. He forced them to make as many bricks as before, but gave them no straw. They had to find their own. So in chapter 5, verse 21, the foreman of the Israelite workers came to Moses and Aaron and says basically, "Well, thanks a lot. In speaking to Pharaoh, you might as well have put a sword in his hand." Thus, Moses cries out in chapter 5, verse 22, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people?" Then we have God's response. As part of that, we find out more about God. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh, because of my mighty hand he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand he will drive them out of his country." The answer to Moses' question of why, God says, "Now you will see what I will do. Now you will see God's power." And twice he mentions his mighty hand. Because of God's mighty hand, Pharaoh will let the people go. Even more than this, did you notice? He'll not just let them go. Because of God's mighty hand, he will drive them out of the country. The situation which now existed as a result of Pharaoh's response to Moses, his response to Yahweh, has dramatically worsened. But it also provides a setting for a demonstration of God's power and character to reveal more about who God is, his sovereignty and his might. What an answer that was to Moses' question. It must have nonplussed him at least for a few moments. And then we see in verses 2 to 8 that God asserts who he is. It's worth noting that verse 2 and at the end of verse 8 are the same. Have a look with me. Verse 2, God says to Moses, "I am the Lord, Yahweh." The end of verse 8, "I am the Lord." And in between in verse 6, "I am the Lord." God is clear. I am still who I am. I am the Lord. Just because Pharaoh has refused to do what he's been asked to do doesn't mean that it's no longer true. God is saying to Moses, "I do not change. You will be delivered." It's a call to faith. God, in the call to faith, is going to show this in a mighty way. Moses needs assurance that God is God, even when things take a turn for the worse, perhaps especially when things take a turn for the worse. And don't we need this when most of us at the moment are frankly feeling overwhelmed? And then in verse 3, God reminds Moses of another name. He says, "I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them." Why did God say this to Moses? How does it help in response to Moses' question? Well, God is reminding Moses, "Not only have I revealed more to you as Yahweh, remember, I am God Almighty." And the name God Almighty should have already filled his people with confidence, but now even more so that a fuller revelation of God's character as Lord has been given to them. God Almighty, El Shaddai, means the Almighty. We cannot find him. He's great in power. There may be other aspects to the meaning of El Shaddai, but the idea of power seems central, and especially so in the context of Pharaoh seeming so powerful and saying, "Who is this Yahweh? I will just ignore him." The name Almighty reminds us that God has all the might he needs to do anything he wants. Well, it's reassuring, but it's also humbling, as it reminds us that God is sovereign. He's powerful. He will decide what he does and when. And it was true after Moses, it's true throughout the Bible, and it's true now. God is unchangeable. And if God is almighty, one thing is sure. No one who resists him can succeed. The arrogant and unbelieving may seem to prosper for a while like Pharaoh did, but God is almighty in power, and we know that one day every knee will bow before him. Well, then in verses 4 to 5, God again reinforces who he is, that he's a promise keeper, a covenant God. Verse 4, I established my covenant. At the end of verse 5, I remembered my covenant. And verse 6, if the Lord promises it, it will happen. And then there's a list of incredible promises which must have looked like an impossibility to Moses following the response of Pharaoh. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slave to them. And I will redeem you with outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Verse 8, again asserting that God will keep and fulfill his covenant promise. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as possession. How can they know this? Well, as mentioned earlier on, the brilliant last sentence of verse 8, I am the Lord. We know, of course, how God would show his enslaved people that he was Yahweh, that he was God Almighty. As we read beyond chapter 6 of the plagues, of the miracles, the dramatic display of God's sovereignty, of his power, of his love, of his rescue. When God said in response to the question by Moses, now you will see what I will do. I do not think Moses could have anticipated what a dramatic display of God's power would be unleashed. Just as Russell Crowe's character was clear that he was not the Spaniard, he is Maximus Decimus Meridius. So God established with Pharaoh and his people. He is not some indefinable God. He is Yahweh. He is God Almighty. Names are important, and God's name reveals his nature, his character. If we do not know God or have a wrong understanding of God, it matters. Just as in a positive way, if by his grace we know him as revealed in the Bible, it makes a difference. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. In this series thus far, we've been reminded that God is Yahweh, that he's Lord, that he's God Almighty, powerful in name and might. So just a couple of final thoughts. As we go through this series, I think it helps us to avoid falling into the trap of an Old Testament God and a New Testament God. Yahweh, the Lord, has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God loves his people, and he rescues his people. We see this ultimately in Jesus, Yahweh become a human being. And God's people knew that. Jesus was saying that he was Yahweh. In John 8, verse 58, Jesus said, I am. That is why in verse 59, they picked up the stones to stone him. In my own daily readings, I've been reading Ephesians chapter 1 and focusing on a verse each day. As I've been preparing for this talk, I've been blown away by the revelation we have of Jesus, of God's sovereignty and his might. Please just turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 3 to 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he's lavished on us. These verses are full of revelation of God as Yahweh, as God Almighty. If we know Jesus, we have every spiritual blessing in him. He chose you and me before the creation of the world. It's mind-blowing. And not only did he choose us, he chose us to be holy and blameless children. Well, you may find it a blessing, as I have done, to meditate on a verse each day. So this series, Knowing God, is a challenge, an encouragement. How well do you and I know God? Is our picture and understanding of God too small? Have we missed out on all that God is saying to us when he tells us that his name is Yahweh, Lord, that he is God Almighty? Does it affect our lives day by day? Well, this year is proving to be a challenging one for many of us, and it follows on from a challenging year last year. Last year, after a long illness, many of you know we lost Sarah's mother. That was followed a week later by Ofsted at school, then COVID. At the same time, I was facing the most challenging personnel situation I've ever faced, a situation that had an impact on well-being and health and went on for 8 months. Throughout, God was God, and that brought reassurance, especially that he's sovereign, that he's a promise keeper. Because of that, because of Jesus, we know Sarah's mother is with him in glory. But it's also a challenge in the call to faith. And I know many of us are in that place at the moment. We face multiple challenges. We're in the storm asking God to calm the waters, but the storm continues. And God is calling us to faith, to look above the stormy waters and to see him, to fix our eyes on Yahweh, God Almighty, to fix our eyes on Jesus. And it's in such times we need to cling to the truths about God, just as in the storm we cling to the side of a boat. We are with gospel hope and the knowledge of God's sacrificial love. We see in Jesus that God showed his sovereignty, his might, his love, in giving up his glory and dying for my sin and for your sin. A greater rescue than the people of God being released from Egypt, and defeat of an enemy far more powerful than Pharaoh, victory over sin and death. If you're in the storm, if you're asking a similar question to the one Moses asked in verse 22, why have you brought trouble on me? Why are you allowing me to go through this? Why are you allowing the storm to continue? Well, we know God doesn't always allow us release from our present troubles or release us when we ask for it or when we would want it. But he is with us, and we have his present grace and mercy and future hope. He calls us to faith, to our covenant God, a promise signed in the blood of Jesus. The Lord God Almighty is through Jesus, the one we may call Father, and he calls us to a deeper faith and walk with him. Just as God said to Moses in Exodus 6, verse 2, I am the Lord, so he says to you and me, I am the Lord, I am with you. I pray each one of us in the storm that this day, that this brings us hope, light and love. May each one of us hear and know that God says to you and me, I am the Lord, I am with you. Amen.